Today's podcast is sponsored by one of my favorite plant-based skincare lines, Osea Malibu. Osea puts your health and the health of the planet first with potent skincare solutions that are pure, safe, and effective.
You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast number 65, common over-the-counter medications and prescribed drugs with potential serious side effects. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I am the founder of Ordinary Vegan, the podcast, the website, my CBD from hemp line of products, and an extraordinary Ordinary Vegan community on Facebook with over 310,000 health and wellness community members. I strive to keep you well by researching and sharing valuable information about nutrition and everything you consume. Because my number one goal is to help you live a long and healthy life that is kind to the planet and to the welfare of animals. Today's podcast was inspired by a series of events that occurred in my life in the last few months. And those events were a great reminder to me to think about everything we put in our bodies. And I'm not just talking about food. Often we take an aspirin or ibuprofen for a headache or a body ache and not think much about it. And for good reason. They're easily accessible, they don't require a doctor's appointment, and they're generally safe. But sometimes there are risks involved with taking these drugs. So today, I want to talk about some of those risks and hopefully just get you to think twice before they enter your body and encourage you to research every medication, including over-the-counter medications that you put in your body or the body of your children. So, after these events occurred, I began researching over-the-counter and prescribed medications, and I felt a real urgency in recording this podcast, and I was actually a little hard on myself for not giving you guys the heads up on this subject before, because I don't believe doctors are alerting patients enough to these risks. As always, we have to take our health into our own hands. Most people assume that over-the-counter medications are safe and free of serious side effects. When taken as directed, many over-the-counter medications can be safe, but it depends on what other over-the-counter drugs or prescription medications we are taking, or even what food we are eating with them. There are also some medications we should never take while flying. And last but not least, there are many over-the-counter and prescription medications that are dangerous to our overall health. Let's begin with some personal stories that inspired this podcast. We have a little guy in our family who we all adore. I call him our little prince. Well, he has been experiencing severe stomach pain for a few months, and his parents have done everything, taken him to a pediatrician, specialist, emergency room, and no one can give them an answer of why he is experiencing stomach aches. But they all recommended the very same commonly prescribed medication in large dosage of something called Miralax. The pain continued and the Miralax wasn't working, and our little guy was getting down and out because he was missing school and his friends and he was always in pain. It just broke our hearts. One day, his mom was talking to another mother and the subject of Miralax came up. The other mother mentioned that she'd read that many parents are concerned about the common side effects of Miralax, like tremors, tics, obsessive compulsive disorders, depression, and even aggression following its use. Our little guy's mom was very upset, of course, and did some research and became even more upset. These complications like tremors, trouble breathing, and aggression weren't rare complications from taking Miralax. They were common complications. In four different doctors prescribed Miralax, and not one doctor mentioned the possible side effects. Of course, she immediately took him off the medication, but when she did further research on it, she was shocked to find out that there were class action lawsuits against Merck, who is the maker of this popular laxative Miralax, because of all the problems children experienced after taking it. At any rate, even with all the lawsuits, all the complaints from parents to the FDA, all the thousands of parents and groups saying Miralax caused aggression, depression, and other symptoms, it is still on the market and being recommended by some of the best doctors Los Angeles has to offer without any warning. That's what's very disappointing. Doctors should know everything about what they are prescribing and at least give parents the heads up just in case they see any of these symptoms. Many people believe it is the PEG-3350 in Miralax and many other laxatives that is causing the problems. And though the exact connection between PEG-3350 and the serious side effects is still unknown, some pediatric doctors are saying it has to do with nerve cells and muscles that control bowel function are also connected to neurobehavioral syndromes like Tourette's syndrome, anxiety, and depression. This medication may not affect all children the same way, but I just wish one of those doctors who had prescribed the medication had at least mentioned those side effects so that his mom and dad could have made a more informed decision. But it seems like most doctors just want the patient in and out. The other incident involved one of my best friends in a prescribed medication called Xanax. She was taking a very long flight, over 15 hours, and she doesn't like flying. Her doctor recommended she take a Xanax on the flight to remain calm and maybe fall asleep. Since she had never taken Xanax before, she did a test run a week before the trip and had no side effects. If you're not familiar with Xanax, it is an anti-anxiety medication in the benzodiazepine family, the same family that includes diazepam, which is Valium, clonazepam, which is Clonopin, and lorazepam, which is Ativan, among others. Xanax works by decreasing abnormal excitement in the brain. It is also supposed to boost the effects of a natural chemical made in the brain known as GABA, which stands for gamma-aminobutyric acid. So she took the Xanax on the flight, fell asleep immediately, and woke up 4 hours later feeling odd, a little confused, feeling a little crazy, wanting to get off the plane, and she had a pounding in her chest. She decided to go to the ladies' room and throw some water on her face, and as soon as she started walking, she passed out in the aisle of the plane. The flight attendants gave her oxygen, checked her blood pressure, and it was extremely low. Eventually, after the administration of oxygen for about 15 minutes, she told the flight attendants that she was okay and went back to her seat with 11 hours left in her flight. So it was pretty bad. When I did research on benzodiazepine, which is the class of drugs Xanax belongs to, I was surprised to find many negative studies. For example, there was a population study in France that showed the long-term use of benzodiazepine, like Xanax, was associated with an increased risk of dementia. Xanax, in its generic form, is one of the most prescribed and popular drugs in the United States, with over 50 million prescriptions being written every year. Common side effects of Xanax and its generic form are low blood pressure, dizziness, drowsiness, and low energy. When benzodiazepine is used over a very short time, as directed by a doctor, they are relatively safe. But people who use it for long periods can experience mental health problems. That can include depression, hallucinations, motor incoordination, and mood swings. And there are some people who believe that benzodiazepine can be a very addictive drug. So please be careful if you are using Xanax or any benzodiazepine medication. Before we talk about the next common medication with side effects, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Osea Malibu. I discovered plant-based Osea way back in the 90s, and it was one of the first vegan skincare lines on the market. They were plant-based before it became a marketing strategy for everyone else. Osea can help reveal and illuminate your natural radiance, whether you're looking for hydration, oil balancing, anti-aging, or blemish solutions. And take it from me, it smells and feels so lovely. Not only that, Osea Malibu is formulated with all skin concerns in mind, and Osea makes products infused with sustainably sourced organic Patagonian seaweed and active botanicals. To purchase Osea Malibu, go to oseamalibu.com. That is OSEAMALIBU.com, and use the coupon code ordinaryvegan, all in one word, to get $10 off your purchase of $50 or more. Thank you, Osea. Another very common medication that can lead to addiction, it can impair thinking and cause problems with balance, are non-benzodiazepine sedative prescriptions like Ambien, Sonata, and Lunesta. There are studies that also link those sedatives to dementia. According to the American Addiction Centers, people who use a large amount of Ambien over an extended period of time can become addicted and experience anxiety, confusion, muscle pain, digestive difficulties, persistent fatigue, and even suicidal thoughts. I know there are many of you out there who can't sleep, but relying on sleeping aids like Ambien every night are not worth the long-term costs. Zolpidem is another sedative hypnotic that is widely prescribed for the treatment of insomnia. While rare, there have been several cases of zolpidem-induced unusual complex behavior, which can develop into sleepwalking, nocturnal eating, and amnesia. So zolpidem should be used at the lowest effective dose for a short duration as possible. Also, this is very important. If you are over 60 years old and taking these kind of medications like Xanax or Ambien, you are even at a higher risk of dementia because the medication stays in an older person's system longer and the liver in older people clear drugs much slower. Now, let's talk about some common over-the-counter drugs. First up, Tylenol. Tylenol is an acetaminophen, and you should never combine other pills that contain acetaminophen, like Midol, because if you combine both, it can cause extreme nausea, stomach pain, sweating, and even confusion. Acetaminophen is found in numerous medications, such as cold and flu medicines. So you have to be careful about mixing pain medication with cold and flu medicines. Too much can cause liver damage or even acute liver failure. Anytime you take an over-the-counter medication, you need to make sure your medications aren't conflicting. Pharmacists can help you with that information. Another drug group that you can buy via prescription and over-the-counter are called anticholinergics. A 2015 study found that the greater use of these drugs was also linked to a higher chance of developing Alzheimer's. Many over-the-counter drugs have anticholinergic properties. Drugs with these properties block the action of a neurotransmitter chemical called acetylcholine. Acetylcholine helps send signals to other cells affecting learning and memory. Most of these drugs are allergy and sleep aid medications like Benadryl, Excedrin PM, Tylenol PM, and Elavil. Anticholinergics also decrease how much we sweat, so it is easy to become dehydrated. Make sure you're drinking lots of water when taking these drugs. Advil and other ibuprofen-like drugs are non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs which can cause serious gastrointestinal bleeding, ulcers, and even death when not taken as directed. As a matter of fact, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs hospitalize over 100,000 people and kill 16,000 people a year in the United States due to overdose, wrongful combinations, or incorrect usage. Always talk with your doctor about pain management and make sure your medications aren't conflicting, even if they are just over the counter. Next up are antihistamines. When it's allergy season, many of you will be reaching into the medicine cabinet for relief. But it is important to choose allergy medications wisely. Diphenhydramine is a first-generation antihistamine medication, like Benadryl. In addition to treating allergy and cold symptoms, such as sneezing and watery eyes, it also blocks the actions of acetylcholine. This is a neurotransmitter that is important for brain functions such as learning and memory. And antihistamines like Benadryl can cause significant drowsiness, so please be careful driving cars or operating machinery. In July 2019, a study was published in the Journal of American Medical Association, and researchers offered compelling evidence of a link between long-term use of medications like Benadryl to dementia. Studies have also shown poorer school performance in children treated with antihistamines. There are safer alternatives. One is called desloratadine, also known as Clarinex, and loratadine, also known as Claritin. Studies have shown that patients taking these reported less side effects. So, especially if you are older and have concerns about brain health, consider an allergy medication other than diphenhydramine. Also, several medicines don't interact well with food. For example, grapefruit. While grapefruit is a nutritious fruit, there is a potential for bad drug interactions. Interactions with grapefruit can occur with medications that lower cholesterol like statins or treat high blood pressure, and even medications that fight cancer. Dairy products such as milk and cheese can interfere with certain medications, including antibiotics and tetracycline. Pickled, cured, or fermented foods contain tyramine, which has been associated with a dangerous increase in blood pressure in patients taking monoamine oxidase inhibitors, which are antidepressants, or certain medications for Parkinson's disease. Vitamin K-rich foods like kale, spinach, and leafy greens can interfere with patients taking something called warfarin. Warfarin is an anticoagulant, and vitamin K can prevent the drug from working. Last but not least, alcohol. You should always be wary of mixing any medication with alcohol because there could be serious complications. With all that said, please always take a few minutes and check with your pharmacist or doctor to confirm any interactions with medications you are taking. I may have mentioned this before, but I also wanted to mention it again, that most over-the-counter capsules you may take, even vitamin capsules, could contain gelatin. Many people ask me why I say my CBD capsules are vegan, because isn't all hemp plant-based? But the truth is, there are very few CBD companies that have capsules that don't include the animal ingredient gelatin. Gelatin is a protein obtained by boiling the skin and bones of animals like cows and pigs. Gelatin is used in candies, marshmallow, ice cream, yogurt, for clearing wines, and even in shampoos and face masks. So always check to make sure gelatin is not included in your over-the-counter medication. That is it for today's podcast. Thank you so much for being here, and I hope some of this information I provided you today helps you live a long and safe life. You can find today's show notes at ordinaryvegan.net. You can also find all my CBD products made from hemp at ordinaryvegan.net/shop. Please remember to go to aseamalibu.com and check out their plant-based beauty products and use coupon code ORDINARYVEGAN, all one word, for $10 off your purchase of $50 or more. If you get a chance, please write a review in iTunes and Spotify. The more reviews we receive, the more opportunity we get to spread the plant-based message. Sharing is caring. My number one goal is to help you live a long and high quality life, and I hope today's podcast information increases your odds of achieving that. Thanks for listening. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.